Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights on Demand. Cypress Hill. That's all I got to say, man. We got to catch up with Eric Bobo talking all about Cypress Hill, Beastie Boys, and so much more. This interview aired on Tuesday, July 21st. Let's do it. Well, hanging with us tonight is an absolute legendary percussionist who has been drumming since he was a little kid. He's worked with the Beastie Boys on some of their biggest albums, created the heavy metal supergroup Sol Invicto with Stephen Carpenter from the Deftones, and of course, he's been with Cypress Hill since the early 90s. Eric Bobo Correa, man, thank you so much for hanging tonight.
How you doing, man? Pleasure to have.
I'm good, brother. It's great to have you on the show. And I know we could probably talk for a few hours about everything you've been a part of, but we get right into it. You're celebrating the release of the brand new Cypress Hill album, Dios Bendiga, which marks the band's 11th full-length, but even more impressive, the first ever full-length Spanish album. How's it feel to have this wrapped up?
You know, it's incredible, man, because, I mean, we wanted to do something like this for a long time since we did Los Grandes Éxitos en Español, which is like, you know, a Spanish translation of some of the hits.
Yeah.
So to do something all original and doing it in Spanish and giving something back to our fans that we promised them long ago, it feels good to finally have it done and have it ready to come out for everybody to enjoy.
Well, and so why do you think now is the right time for it?
I personally think that, I mean, it was the right time for us. You know, I mean, I think that the opportunity came for us to have time to really work on it because we didn't want to rush into this and make it seem like, oh, well, we're just trying to do this to just jump on the Latin trend, which is something that we never do. It was just a right time for us to kind of go back and revisit this. And now with the market so much different than what it was when we released that Los Grandes Éxitos record, I had the opportunity to work with some of the great, you know, MCs of today. It's a great opportunity. So it's something that we really couldn't pass up.
Well, and you know, you talk about some of the great MCs. I mean, I love the first single you released is Campeones, which features Mellow Man, Ace, Sin Dog's brother, original member of Cypress Hill. I mean, that had to just feel like a full circle moment for everybody.
Yeah, it was really great because, you know, it's been a long time since both Be Real and Sin Dog and Mellow did anything together. And it was definitely a full circle moment. I mean, been there since the beginning, and it's great to see the brothers back doing something.
I love that, man. Well, you know, you're not just the percussionist for Cypress Hill, but you're also the musical director. And I'm curious, you know, what's it look like for you to be the musical director for the band for this album? Like, how's that different than sitting in the producer chair? Like, what's that look like?
Well, you know, I think my role was just to make sure that, you know, things were being done in an authentic way, and also to help navigate the sound of where we were going with it, and to introduce different styles that we can add to our arsenal. In a way, you know, you can put it as interchangeable, I think, the title. But I think being with Cypress for so many years, I'm definitely able to communicate a language to a producer of how we want to go about our sound and what we want to try to do. So I think that's a very important communication to be able to have. So there's no disconnect and like one person wanting to do one thing and then other person trying to do something else.
Yeah. And you use the word authentic, and I think that like that's it for Cypress Hill, right? No matter what you do or what kind of album you release or who you collaborate with or anything like that, like that's gotta be like the top of the priority list. Like whatever we do, it's gotta be Cypress Hill.
It's gotta be Cypress Hill. And that's the first and foremost thing that, you know, we had to keep in mind, that we had to be able to put our touch on it. And I think that we were really able to achieve that with this record because, you know, from people that have heard it, they're like, oh, man, it seems like, you know, it brings me back to when I first heard Cypress and things like that. I'm like, wow, you know, I mean, that it's really getting to people like that. It means a lot because we wanted to keep as authentic as possible and not go too far off, you know, the road, you know, that people know us for. You know, we don't want to throw anything too drastic that's going to make it be like, what are these guys doing?
Yeah, but what I love about the band, man, you guys do push yourselves. And, you know, we could spend hours talking about, you know, performing with a symphony and that kind of thing. Yes. But like you said, like first and foremost, well, it's still, whether it's with a symphony, whether it's a Spanish album, whatever that is, like it's still Cypress Hill.
Yes, yes, yes. And you can't lose sight of that. And I don't think that the fans that have been great for us and have been open to everything that we've thrown at them musically, they just want to know that, you know, the Cypress Hill magic is still there.
Yeah, that's it, man. And like you said, too, like serving as, you know, the musical director. Yeah, you've been with the band for so many years. I mean, the first album you were on was Temples of Boom, right? In 95.
Yes. Yes.
But you knew the guys. I mean, you toured with them, right? When you were with the Beastie Boys?
Yes, yes. I mean, I toured for the Black Sunday cycle, that whole touring cycle for that album. And, you know, first time for Cypress touring in Europe, you know, I was there and South America and a lot of these places. And also being able to be in the studio with them and being a sponge and, you know, working with Muggs, you know, on stuff, just learning. And I think that was important because, you know, I had to add my flavor to something that was already there, you know. And sometimes, you know, that's not an easy thing to do to make it sound, you know, the way it's supposed to sound. And I think that, you know, my history doing stuff also with the Beastie Boys during the same time period, you know, it just kept my mind sharp,
yeah.
You know, and to be able to implement different ideas that maybe they weren't thinking about at the time.
Well, and, you know, I think about that tour you were on with the Beastie Boys and Cypress Hill, and then Rollins Band was on that tour too, right?
Yes, yes.
Like you think about, you know, pushing yourselves or pushing fans in the audience, like that lineup, I think that does it. And that was, you know, 30 plus years ago. And so then to continue pushing yourselves and pushing the audience, like you said, not going off the edge, but still remaining authentic, but still pushing in the new territory. Like you've been witnessing that with Cypress Hill, with Beastie Boys, with Rollins Band, like since the early 90s.
Yes. I mean, even the Beasties, had to, you know how to reinvent themselves and yet still be their authentic self. So, you know, when you are able to, when you're a fan of like Paul's Boutique and then they hit you with Check Your Head, you know, you're like, wow, wait a minute. You know, they can do all this and still sound, give you that Beastie Boy sound. You know, that was important. And I think with Cypress touring with all the different genre of bands that we've toured with, we've had a chance to kind of, you know, take a little bit from each, you know, and just kind of put it in our Cypress Hill blender and see what comes out.
Yeah. Well, I love that, man. And you guys have a lot of live shows all over the country this year, and I can't wait. I'm going to be at Rocklahoma over Labor Day weekend. And this is a massive festival, man. And, you know, it's been going on for 20 years. This is the 20th anniversary of Rocklahoma. And, yeah. You know, it's a major thing for the audience. A lot of these people have been doing it for a decade, for two decades. And like you said, touring with so many different people. I mean, this festival, they've got, you know, Slayer and Papa Roach and Godsmack and Black Label Society and Stone Temple Pilots and Cypress Hill. What's that like? I mean, what's that like for Cypress to be on a festival with bands like that?
You know, it's crazy because I know not a lot of hip hop bands get a chance to do, you know, stuff like that, and be on festivals where it's, you know, a majority of like rock fans or, you know, heavy metal fans. And it's kind of familiar territory for us because back in the 90s, during Lollapalooza and the European festivals and, you know, big things like that, we had to learn how to, you know, have our sound still be right up there with all of those great acts, you know. So it feels great, you know, because to be honest, there have been some festivals and be like, they really want us here. Like, are you sure? You know, but it's just a thing that Cypress has been able to cross over in these genres and be accepted to do, you know, these kind of festivals. So
that's right.
It's really a blessing and a great thing to be able to cross over like that, and that way that, you know, they can put us in between a Slayer and a Papa Roach and still be accepted.
Yeah, I don't think anybody sees that lineup and they're like, why Cypress Hill on that? I think everyone's like, hell yeah, Cypress Hill is on it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's great, you know. I mean, it just lets you know also the power of hip-hop and the power of our brand of hip-hop.
Well, and you guys, you know, that love, I think, for different sounds and different genres, you know, it obviously is found in Cypress Hill, but, you know, Sindog, he explores it. You obviously do it with Sol Invicto. And so, you know, like all of that love, all of those influences, like they exist within you guys.
Yes. I mean, and we're not like faking the funk doing it. I mean, we are really authentic with, you know, our love of, you know, rock and metal and things like that. And just putting things together, you know, and taking what I do as a musician and putting my flavor on something that's going to be heavy, you know. And it's great that we are able to do this. I mean, be also, you know, with Prophets of Rage. And
yeah,
I mean, we feel comfortable in that skin. So I think it comes across that way. So it doesn't look like it's forced or doesn't sound like it's forced.
That's right, man. Well, you know, I'm curious, man, like going all the way back. I mean, you were born into, you know, a world of drums and percussion and, you know, obviously influenced by your dad, who is a renowned percussionist. But, you know, just because your dad does something, that doesn't automatically mean you get into it. But you clearly did early on. I mean, what was it about drums, percussion, music that sucked you in?
You know, that's a really interesting question that I don't even know if I have the answer for, because I mean, from what, you know, my family would tell me, my brother, my mom would tell me that, you know, I just started banging on things. I just started, you know, playing on the pots and, you know, and making noise like that and doing it in a rhythmic way that they said, wait a minute, he kind of sounds good, like he's got it. So I think it's just something that was really God given. And my dad was able to notice that I was gravitating toward this before I can even speak. So, you know, he nurtured that, and he nurtured that in a way that it was still very enjoyable for me. It wasn't forced, you know. He wasn't trying to, you know, to recreate himself, you know.
Yeah.
He was always made sure that, you know, hey, if you don't do good in school, you're not going to get up on that stage, you know. He made sure that, you know, my growing up was as normal as possible and that I was able to love playing music genuinely, not just because he did it.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's it, right? Like, if your dad shoved sticks in your hands and forced you to do it, man, you probably would have said no, you know, rebelled against that. But to be, you know, have that genuine support, but also like, hey, man, you know, you got to do the right thing. You got to do this. You got to do that too. Clearly just set you on the path that you continue to be on today.
It was a blessing to be able to learn that and be around musicians that, you know, they really genuinely loved what they did. And I kind of just accepted that was the way, you know what I mean? I figured that if if I get up there on that stage and the day I don't enjoy it anymore is the day that I have to bow out, yeah. You know, because I'm not being real. You know, I have to do what I have to do and love what I do in order for me to perform at the highest level that I can.
Well, that's it, man. Like, you talk about the authenticity of Cyprus, like, you got to be authentic to yourself too. And if you're not feeling that, then it's time to move on.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of musicians out there, that's a hard thing to accept.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, oh man, it's all I know, whatever, I've been doing it. But, you know, you have to also recognize within yourself, you know, your limits. And if you're not able to perform at that top level, you know, it's not a bad thing to question, you know, what else can you do here?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, man, listen, last question. I just got to ask, just curiosity and just my own fandom. But I mean, how did you initially get hooked up with the Beastie Boys to work with them and to have so many years with them?
It's funny. I was working at a club. This guy who was a big club promoter, his name was Matt Robinson, brother of Holly Robinson, Pete from 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
And he knew the boys. You know, like I said, he was the guy in town. He promoted a lot of different clubs. And I was playing with my little jazz band in like his chill out room. And he had called me one day and he said, yo, Ad-Rock, Adam Horowitz is getting married and they're interested in having you play the wedding. And I thought he was bullshit. I'm like, no, why me? What the hell, you know, whatever. And I didn't believe him, you know, and he had Adam call me. And basically, I was the music entertainment for his wedding to Ione Sky. I did the wedding march. I was the background music. I was it,
man.
And he says, "Well, we're getting ready to go on the road, you know, but we'll link up when I get back." Then a few months later, I got a call from Mike D asking if I was interested, you know, on going on a tour and joining them for the last leg of the Check Your Head tour. And I auditioned for it. They were having percussionist problems, and I auditioned for it. And at the end of that audition, I had the itinerary in my hand. And that was the Check Your Head tour with Rollins Band. And first couple of weeks was Ice Cube and the Lynch Mob. But then the last 2 weeks, Cypress Hill joined up on that tour. And man, my two worlds collided right there.
That's amazing, man. I got goosebumps just hearing that. I love that. man, Bobo, man, thank you so much for hanging with us tonight. Like I said, I think we could talk for a few more hours, but congrats on everything. Congrats on this new Cypress Hill album, Dios Bendiga. I can't wait to see you at Rocklahoma. Can't wait for all that's to come. Listeners, get everything you need at cypresshill.com. We'll keep you posted here on Loudwire too. But man, anytime you just say the word, you are welcome back whenever you want.
Thank you very, very much, man. It was a pleasure.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.